Welcome. I'm Charlene Fontaine. It's an honor to be with you. I'd like you to sit down in a comfortable, cozy spot where you're warm, and I'd like to share with you how you received this CD and what brought it about. It comes from my book, A Hole in My Heart, Thoughts on Life, Love, and Loss. And as you listen to this CD, I'd like to share with you the events that brought you and me together this day. Our family's story is very similar to most everyone's in the fact that we all had joy, challenges, success, and lean times, as well as many good. My parents lived in Ohio, married, and started our family. Dad's career began as a tool and die maker, and he retired as a supervisor of manufacturing engineers for Ford Motor Company. My mom is a TQM, total quality mom, for sure. She baked bread and drove a school bus after we all were in school. There are five of us, me being the oldest, then 6 years later, my brother Stu, then 2 years and 2 days later, Sid arrived, 1 year later, Steve, and 4 years later came, last but not least, our sister Sally. As siblings go, we all are close, supportive, and competitive. We were raised with love and taught to be responsible for one another, to always do what was right, and to put our best foot forward. We moved to Indiana during the second semester of my senior year in high school. What a change in our lives! As I look back on the past for answers, I sense that the real shock came to my family after Sid's motorcycle accident. That was in 1979. His bike stuck in a high-speed wobble at 100 plus miles per hour. He did not have his leathers on, so his skin looked like raw meat, but thank God he was wearing his helmet. It was flat on the top. We all thought Sid would fully recover, just like he had from other injuries. A few months after that, he had been placed in a mental hospital for treatment. At that time, he was diagnosed as a manic depressive bipolar. We soon learned that a total recovery might not be possible. What we also did not realize was what a loss that accident would cost all of us in the end. These events started all of us on a path of growth, love, and deep understanding into how precious life really is. Sid's illness has given me many gifts. The two it has taught me the most are acceptance and compassion. So as you listen to this CD, my deepest prayer and hope is that you will be comforted in your loss. You will grieve from the core of who you are, and you will heal to the deepest depths of your pain. And as we walk through this time of healing and grieving and compassion and most of all love today, please go into that space of where you once loved that person that is no longer with you, that relationship, or whatever the situation just might be. And walk forward and be comforted. And most of all, be all that you are from the love that you've gained. Count the blessings in your losses, for surely then you will become all that you can be. Changed, blessed, and most of all, whole. And as we sit here, we are guided and loved by the Spirit of God that surrounds us and is in us. And may we feel that love, peace, and great comfort from the source that is always, always with us. Amen. A Hole in My Heart. There is a hole in my heart. Can you see it? Do you sense my pain? How does it look? Does it make you uncomfortable? Why? It is only my heart, with all of my emotions overflowing like the tears from my eyes, so very, very deep from inside. There it sits, my heart exposed, torn, bloody, lost with no more direction to give, and nothing left to share but the devastating pain. Loss of a loved one is that way. It is like someone took aim, fired into the core of who I am. All is different now, never to be the same. The core of my life has shattered now. In my mind, I scream, no, 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 it really can't be true. Or did I scream it out loud? Denial looms over the hole in my heart to protect it by chasing away reality. There is far too much pain, so it cannot be true. It is one human who loves God so much, really, to withstand that much pain? Where is the love? My life has stopped, altered by one act, thought, and breath in time. I am numb, but I eat, dress, and work. I must be fine. After all, life does go on. But as the days roll by, I feel on edge. Nothing is right. I'm lost at night. My finger points to blame. My anger turns into words of rage at anyone, everyone, and then especially to God. Numb out again to escape that deep, deep pain that has now turned into anger. TV, food, phone, or a drink, one of those will surely do the trick. The hole in my heart is filling up with anger. Where is the love? In search for those lost moments in time, wishing to recover just a few, replaying in my mind what I might have said or done differently for that special loved one who no longer breathes on this side. If only I should have, or I could have, rules my words and mind. If only I could turn back time. Now guilt and fear fill the hole in my heart. What can I do now? This pain keeps dragging me down. Fears of not being forgiven, not loving enough, not being there. Will fear win over love? Where is the love? Where is the gift in this tragic loss? Where is God? Nothing seems to take this pain away. Someone said, tears are cleansing. If I cry all day, that will surely take this pain away. A few months have gone by now, and some say, what is wrong with you? You're sad all the time. Get on with your life. They were once friends, now only a name. I have discovered grief takes much energy, lots of work, and most of all, time. New friends are found in support groups, counseling, church, and work. I find people who understand my pain are educated enough to say, I cannot feel or know your pain. I'll listen with my ears, support you with my hugs, and give you tissue to wipe away your tears. I may not say a word, only know I am here. Talking really helps, especially with people who are walking a similar path. Group meeting days bring knots to my stomach. Everything in me fights so I will not have to go, but I honor this pain. My soul feels better for just having shared these overwhelming emotions. Great sadness, sorrow, darkness, and depression now fill the hole in my heart. Will this ever end or even get better? Does it lessen? Will I ever laugh again? The bottom of the pit has arrived. In this deep place of depression, I have moments when I feel like close to normal. 4 months have gone by now. Some moments feel like it has been lifetimes, while others seem like only a moment ago when my life shattered. Some days are like a real day when tears do not flow. Birthdays and holidays without him are like being a robot. Expectation of the first of any day without him is so very hard. Now, as the days roll into months, there is a kind of rhythm to my life. I see myself as a bottle riding the waves of life. Sometimes I'm up on top of the emotional waves. Other times, without warning, I'm under the water of emotions, gasping for air. Overtaken by those feelings of loss, denial, anger, fear, depression, and pain. The hole in my heart is now making a place for acceptance of this loss. My role in life has changed. What do I do now? Who am I? How do I go forward? Did I really make a difference in his life? Can I still touch others' lives? I know that in this time of grief, everything that is unsettled within me is up for healing. All others touched by loss surely share this feeling, but know not what it is. This is one of the gifts in loss. In this moment, our loved one reaches from the other side, presents us with all types of healings on so many levels. If I choose to accept this precious gift by moving forward, forgive, feel the pain, and heal, my life will be blessed with love. This is the time when the hole in my heart starts to heal. To celebrate and to honor all that was and all that is to be from loving this special one who now sits in my heart. The cycle of grieving. For everything there is a season, a time to weep and a time to laugh. That quote is from the Bible, from Ecclesiastes 3, 1, and 4. This quote from the Bible more than describes the process of loss, change, and grief. The process of grief consists of 6 stages. My experiences have taught me that this cycle touches every area of our lives, and it's not just brought on by the death of a loved one. These stages do not come in any order and will arrive out of nowhere to take you down to the feelings that need to be expressed. The stages have been labeled by many names, but these are the ones that I call them. The first is denial. This cannot be so. It cannot be happening. Shock and total disbelief. If your loss has been a sudden one, the shock of it all will linger for longer than you expect. Anger is the second stage of grief. You will be angry at the person, at yourself, and at God or your higher power. Your family, the doctors, the drugs, the murderer, anyone and or everyone. Then there's blame and guilt. This is the time when we go to the shoulds, woulds, coulds, if onlys, if only for the person, yourself, and all involved. This is the finger-pointing stage. And then we arrive at depression. You have now hit the bottom, or so you might think. This stage can take many, many forms. One of my favorite forms was not getting out of bed to go to work and being exhausted all of the time, to eating chocolate and ice cream all day long. The fifth stage in the cycle of grieving is acceptance. This loss really has happened, and on some level you start to accept it. This stage also comes back again and again and again. 3 months into the cycle, I remember sobbing my eyes out. It had finally hit me that Sid was gone. My brother would not be in Indy at his new house anymore. Denial had finally shaken hands with reality. During the holidays, another hit was felt. It was the first time he would not be there to celebrate Christmas. What a very strange feeling. Another level of acceptance had arrived. And so it goes, acceptance will be in many levels. And then I put stage 6 in, called celebration. There is a time for everything, and to me, this must also be a part of the process of grieving, to honor the person as well as yourself, for arriving on the other side of a very difficult, growth-filled process. This is the gift that the final ending of a body or the change in a relationship gives us. Each of us is given the opportunity to choose to live our life at a deeper level. We can live it in each moment of each day. Tell those you care for every day how much you care about them and that you have good thoughts and prayers for them. In your year of firsts, you will experience many ups and downs. You will revisit the cycle of grief many times, and for many years for some of you. The year of first will be the first birthday, any holiday, any activity or celebration without this person will bring up issues to consider. You are grieving, just let them pass. Do your work, and you will arrive on the other side of grief. Now comes this beautiful poem called The Gift of Grief. When we resist doing a task, we make excuses as to why or turn the blame to the other person. The key to uncover these blocks is found by standing in the center and embracing the pain. The grief is a safe time to uncover our past. After all, if we shed a tear after a great loss, no one will be surprised. It's only normal. So let me see now. We need an excuse to be sad or cry? Some who do not understand will hand you a pill for the pain. No pill can touch this pain. Grief is a safe time to let the walls down, feel your hidden pains. Search for the real you and heal the wounds that remain. Oceans of tears could not wash this pain away, even if I cried a million years. Time does not heal nor fill the gaps. It just passes. But in each moment of grief, there will lie many gifts. Appreciation, joy, laughter, searching, just to name a few. The one that has passed on to the other side encourages you to look deep inside to find the treasure you are, the gift you bring to the world, and the lives you bless with each word and action. Grief is like being on a wild horse, not knowing where or when it will come to reclaim its freedom. It tries to kick you off if you like to walk alongside, or throw you off if you try to ride it. For some people, grief is uncomfortable to be in, around, or even watch. It deals with the core of every person's emotions and feelings. Grief is a mirror for all of us to look into and see our unresolved, unexpressed, and unexplored parts of our past. It brings up all our unresolved issues and feelings from our past towards the person we are mourning, and or anyone and everyone else that we may have unresolved issues with. Very few of us cope at a high level during this time. Some try to push the grief away, some try to handle it, some run, while others sit in the center and are kicked about. Some may choose all to get through it. Whatever way you choose to deal with it, please do work at it to get through the process. If you choose to go on with life and not work it through, later on down the road you will see a monster arrive that will take many forms. This is the monster of loss, and it has returned just to take away your power and control. People genuinely want to comfort you. Some will say words that are not meant to be harmful, toxic, or hurtful, but the words are painful to hear. People will try to take away your emotions because they themselves cannot deal with the pain of their own losses or their unresolved grief. They do not know what to do when they watch a loved one in pain. I must share with you a thought that as to how overwhelmed I was when someone told me that it would be about a year before my grief would be lessened and less intense. My first response was to myself, "No way, I'll get through this much faster." Then I heard it from many other people. A full year was far too long for this person. I loved my life, and I lived it at record-breaking speeds to meet all of my commitments. I could not be sad and do my work. Could this just be over, please? What would I do about my clients? How long before the deep pain will be gone? Will I really laugh again? The shift came for me when I started to focus on each day. As well as being in the pain, I allowed the process to heal me. When I look back at what I did, it happened in three steps. First, I totally let go of the future and the past. I surrendered into the process. The second step for me was trusting in my God to not give me anything that I could not handle. In other words, just trust. And the third step for me was beginning to open in each moment and accepting the good that was there. For you see, in grief, we receive good. I know wherever you are in this stage, you may not realize that, and your pain may be far, far, far too intense. But please listen to my words. They are filled with love. For you know, you will smile again, you will laugh again, and you will experience phenomenal good that will come out of this grief. I have a few suggestions for you on how to cope in this process. Make your own rules during this time. When you feel tired, take a nap, even if it is in the middle of the day. During this process, our bodies need more energy and downtime to function. Give yourself the gift to change your mind. Postpone, change, or cancel any or all activities, even for an entire day. That's for you workaholics. If you are not feeling up to doing whatever was on your schedule, exit through, call, don't make excuses, just cancel. Let it go. Set limits of time and space for phone calls and visits. Do not be embarrassed about asking someone to leave. Set solid boundaries for yourself. Each day, shower or bathe. Eat good food, not junk food. Drink lots of water and go outside. Give yourself the gift of going outside for a walk. Even if it is cold, go outside. Take your vitamins, your herbs, and your minerals. Stay away from caffeine, nicotine, sugar, and alcohol. Do some daily activity that uses your hands and your mind. Write in a journal, and if you have never done it, start one. Record your thoughts on loss. Draw. Do needlepoint. Plant a garden. Read a book to a child. Take all the pictures of your loved one and place them in a picture album. Then you can look at it when you choose and remember all of the good times. Each day, take the time to get in touch with your emotions to know how you are feeling about the loss. Some people go to the cemetery each day. If you are not in the area, you can choose a special place to visit. I light a white candle to remember and feel the thoughts and emotions, as well as the good that has come to me through this loss. Losses are not only from death. Few of us consider the more frequent types of endings as losses. These losses range from a teenager leaving for college, or a child losing their first tooth, to our inability to communicate our needs to those around us at home or at work. Whatever loss and grief brings to us, embrace it. During my grieving process, there were a few principles that brought life to me and comfort about the endings and the changes that I had been going through. The first one was, once someone or something is in our life, they can never be lost. The second, the form may change, but it is never lost. The person, the job, or the relationship, whatever. Number three is, everything in life has a beginning and an ending. Like the beginning of a breath. You breathe in love, and you let it go, and it ends, and you go to the next breath, and the next moment. The fourth principle that brought me great comfort: our souls are eternal. Our bodies may age, and they fall away, but our souls are always there. And the fifth principle was, change is a part of life. Sid's body changed its form. His soul did not. I miss that body and that smile that made me laugh. I can always talk to his soul. So the relationship is just different now. It is not over or lost. This does not mean not to grieve the change, or that it is not painful, or that it did not bring me great sadness, but to see the changes in life with new insights. When one can do that by living in each moment, life has new meaning. That is truly the gift our grief brings. I would like to share with you one of my favorite poems that I wrote, Sibling Bonds. Brother, sister, friend. Love, laughter, tears. Talks till dawn over pizza and beers. Someone to share the problems and joys. Toys through fast cars, electronics and such. Sports, dances, scouts. School, college, and careers. Concerts, church music through rock. It was not near enough time. A life filled with hope, hospitals, and fears. Diapers, poison ivy, playing King of the Hill. Popsicle sticks, pickup sticks, pool sticks. Easter egg hunts, horses and skis to ride. Dad's boat to drive, tricycles, bicycles, and motorcycles that fly. Births, graduations, reunions, weddings, all filled with love. Through the seconds of time, a bond of love was woven. From brother to sister to being best friends. Never lost or broken, only strengthened from earth to eternity. Hugs no more, now just reaching into the air. The greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all comes from deep within us. It is a sound so sweet to our ears, it brings our eyes to tears. The body and soul know it so well. It can be sensed at a level only animals and children can tell. It warms our hearts. Sets our minds free, allows each of us to be all we choose to be. It is the blood that flows through our veins, the air we breathe in, and the scent we give off. To some, it smells of roses, gardenias, or jasmine. There is no charge, only a minute of your thought. It has no judgments, drama, hassles, or such. Just acceptance of all that you are and are not. Give it to yourself first, then to all you see. Wrap it in a hug, possibly a kiss on the cheek, or even a glance to someone on the street. It is yours to give and will never run out. It only takes opening your heart and letting it shout. Go ahead, give it away, and what you get back will make your day. Unconditional love is the greatest and best gift of all. Start today, right now. You have not a thought to waste. Haven't you had enough pain? Just love. And watch your world change. Throughout time, myths have played a vital part in our lives. They give us context to tell us about the great stories of life. But there are some myths that keep grief in the closet for most Americans. When our ancestors came to this country, they brought with them rituals and customs from their home countries. Therefore, we have had many ways to bury and grieve our ancestors' passings. There are several myths I would like to address with the purpose of shifting perceptions and bringing truth to light. The first one is, time heals all. Sorry, that one is not true. The only thing time does is pass. It does nothing else. Knowing, working, and doing the process of grieving will heal the past, not time. The second myth is that it is not acceptable to cry, especially for males. Can we please bury this one? Can we all just be open and feel our emotions? I hereby give all men and boys of all ages permission to cry and show their emotions in an appropriate manner. Another part of this one is, if they do cry, it must be in a private place, and for sure, no sobbing. For those who have a challenge watching men cry, I suggest you get comfortable with your own tears and fears before you judge them. How many more heart attacks are men in this society going to have before we wake up and realize they need to start expressing their feelings? The third one is, this death or ending cannot affect me and grief cannot hurt me. Well, this is a real old one, but it still exists in the minds of most folk today. A death report in London in 1657 listed the causes of death as smallpox, 835, plague, 446, grief, 10. Even that far back, they knew that a person could die from unexpressed, unresolved, and unexplored grief. How far have you come in your thoughts on this subject? Number 4. If you cannot handle your own problems or responsibilities, you are weak, and you can be replaced. I would like to invite any president, small business owner, or organization head to please understand and open up to the fact that unresolved, unexpressed, and unexplored grief is a major contributing factor to our low productivity in today's workplace. Many people are in great pain over the loss of their jobs or the death of their loved ones. 2 or 3 days is just not long enough for a bereavement leave. Some of the things that helped me heal from these myths and going through the grieving process were my daily spiritual practices. And my daily spiritual practice consists of prayer, meditation, and doing something good for myself and someone else every day. Seeing the good in everyone I meet, even though sometimes it's deeply hidden. My challenge is to find it. Another thing that helped is when my friends called and they sent cards and gifts and they gave me time as well as understanding. Time to be alone and time to heal. Support groups where I met people who were having similar challenges as mine. Compassionate friends and survivors of suicide were two of my biggest sources. Getting away from my routine and taking a few days off. The biggest gift I gave myself to heal with was not being overcommitted and permission to say no. I talked with teens and children. You know, the teens of this country and this world and the children that are around us are our greatest gift of all. Sid often said, "Feed the children, sis. Feed the children." So I allowed the children to feed me with their sage words of wisdom. I actually drew with crayons and pencils. I did things I loved that nurtured me, and I suggest you do the same. I lit candles. I did water scream therapy, where I went into the pool and screamed and cried and asked why. It was very healing. I sat in the quiet. And the most important one of all, eventually, I laughed again. I have looked around for signs from Sid. Signs are very healing. I'll share a story with you. When we were growing up, we found a gray dove with a broken wing. We repaired the dove's wing, and we let it go. But there was always this bond between Sid and I about gray doves. The morning I left to fly home to Indianapolis, I found a sign, a beautiful gray dove feather. It was on my back patio. It was a sign from Sid, telling me he was okay. Since then, in very odd and strange places where gray dove feathers would have a very difficult time arriving, they're there. Every time I need him, he is there. So, if you are open, you too will see signs. At first, there will be signs to support you, to let you know that your loved one is fine. And if it's the ending of a job or an ending of a relationship, you will gather signs where things will be fine. So look for the signs. They too will help you heal. One more day. This is a meditation that will add closure after the loss of a loved one or any type of ending, a relationship or a job. This has been very successful for me to say goodbye and to do the things with Sid that I didn't have time to do. I trust you will find whatever it is you need for closure. If you like, you can do it more than once. I have. If you forget something, it is okay. I'd like you now to sit down in a very, very comfortable place. Light candles if you like. And you might want to lay down on this one and just relax. And if you will allow Susan's music and my voice, we're going to take you on a little trip, a visit, if you will, for one more day. Do not be concerned, because you are safe. And if you like, let your tears flow. Just let whatever needs to come up for you in this very special private time to come up. Whatever you need to say, you say for completion. and bring closure for yourself. So take a nice deep breath and breathe in love. And let the love go as you let go of your breath. And then in the next breath, breathe in some more love and take yourself in deeper and deeper into that very safe, special place. And if you haven't already, close your eyes. And just be comfortable. And I'd like you to bring the loved one into your heart right now, or the ending of whatever kind. In this journey of one more day, we are going to take this loved one or this ending, and we're going to say and do whatever you need to say and do to complete. So if you see yourself with your loved one now, please see what you have on, what they're wearing. See that special smile and the special scent of their body. Smell it deeply. Now feel their arms around you and yours around them. Now that you're there with them in this very special place, wherever it might be for you and them, and you've greeted one another, and you're comfortable, and they're comfortable, start your conversation about what you would say, and say it to them. Tell them whatever you need to tell. I'll be quiet now, so you can visit. And as you're with your loved one, now it's their turn to talk to you. For they have very, very special messages now from the other side that they'd like to share with you. So listen. Listen deeply with your heart. and now. Give your loved one some parting words and any last things you would like to say in this visit of one more day. Give them a big hug and a kiss. You see, they really aren't so far away. And at any point in time, of any night or day, you can visit with them if there's anything you need to say. But this one last day is so powerful. It helps you to heal, as well as your loved one. So now, give them go ahead, one more hug and a big kiss. Tell them most importantly of all you love them, and see them walking away. Now feel how you're feeling. Filled with love, peace, more closure, contentment. And now you know you can spend more time with them when you need. So now, take some nice, refreshing breaths of love. Breathe in the love, and then make it a circle and let it go. And some more. Keep breathing deeply. And as you breathe deeply, start to wiggle those fingers and toes and come back into your body. And breathe deep and come on in. And as you come in, you feel so much more peaceful, so much more loved. Now start to wiggle your shoulders. And you might want to roll your eyes and gently open them. And continue to breathe deeply. Breathe in the love and let the love go out. For the closure you've used today in visiting with your loved one just one more day is a very powerful tool, especially when you've had a sudden change. This technique gave me great closure with Sid, for I would give anything for one more day. That's how this came about. I didn't get that one more day, like many of us don't. So you see, now we've all had it. One more day with our loved one. One more day to complete an ending. One more time to tell someone we do love them and what a difference they've made in our lives. Feelings and emotions. One area in our education that is sorely lacking is an awareness and understanding of our feelings and emotions. Every moment of our lives, we have various emotions that come into play. They are triggered by our sensory experiences. Their source is our reactions, judgments, and interpretations of what is going on around us. Our emotions are almost always negative and block our love. By blocking love, they block reality. Our feelings come from our perceptions of what is happening to or around us. They are our sixth sense and much closer to reality. Our feelings are our intuition speaking to us. Like, this feels right or wrong. Or, I feel like I have known you before. We sense our feelings. Love is usually thought of as an emotion or feeling. It is neither. It is a force or power. We make interpretations of emotions and sense them through our feelings. That is a connection between people, animals, nature, and everything. Every person has both emotions and feelings. Some choose to disassociate or to cut themselves off from their feelings. Others choose to feel and express them. Our society teaches us that it is not okay to express these emotions or feelings. We've all heard women and girls cry and are emotional all the time, while boys and men do not cry or feel. We all need to understand that at some point in time, whether we have chosen from a conscious or subconscious perception to cut off or express these feelings, they will come back to visit in a form over which we have no control. The pain of the emotions and feelings needs attention and to be dealt with sooner or later. It is like the old business axiom, pay me now or pay me later. Our experience tells us that it is much easier and less painful to handle something up front than to put it off. It all goes back to our individual free choice. What will you choose? I believe that one of the reasons why we have such a difficult, challenging time in feeling our emotions, and especially sadness, is because we don't trust the process. Trust is a big thing in our society today. For most of us feel like we don't have the ability to trust. So now I'd like to share a poem with you entitled Trust. The first step in trusting is the letting go. The next is total surrender. Then watch the gifts flow. You will find yourself so very blessed from the letting go. Your life will look so different, you won't even begin to know. It starts by letting go of your breath. Then breathe in your oneness with God. Next, release your little thoughts. Replace them with loving thoughts of good. Listen to your inner guidance. All the fears will soon be gone. You see in your mind the joy from your heart. The form takes on God's love. And your trust will build a little deeper in self and God. Soon, love is all there is, and trusting is returned. Trust is the light of God that builds bridges of faith to support us. It knocks the walls and blocks of fear away, gives us freedom to be our true self, and love to share with all. It starts when we were children, for that is all we knew. Love and trust are who we are. Where did they go? Thank you. We've looked at trust and feelings and emotions, and now we'd like to lead you through Susan with her beautiful harp and my voice, that place of trust where you feel safe, that place where you are comforted, where you've never been harmed. So if you could take in a nice, big, deep breath filled with love and just let it relax your whole body. Make sure you're warm. And let's go to that place of trust and love. So take a deep breath of love in and slowly, slowly let it go. And as you do, you go deeper into that place of where you've never been harmed, where there's never loss, and the only thing you know is safety and love. And let the breath take you in further, and let the music heal as you go down. And as you're there, you are so comforted. Feel how your body is warm and relaxed and at great peace. And in this time, where you are peaceful and you are loved, you know that all there is for you is love. This deep, deep sense of energy and power flood your body to comfort it. And this sense of love can come from a child that you care deeply for, another person, your favorite scene of nature, or wherever you feel the most love in your heart. And be comforted. And breathe in this deep, deep peace. And now, as you've rested here, and you feel so warm and comfortable, you can linger for a few moments and feel your body being healed. For in you is this deep, deep river of love. And you know it's safe to come here anytime, any place, anywhere. And now, I'd like you to take a deep, refreshing breath. Breathing in love, breathing out love, and start to feel your body And you might want to start to move just a bit. For we need you to come back. Come back to where your body is lying. And feeling so comfortable. For you know that it's safe to feel your emotions. You know that it's safe to have this feeling of love. And you know that it's safe to share it with others. And as you come back up, move your toes, wiggle them. Start to move your hands, wiggle your shoulders around. And you might want to gently, very slowly, open your eyes. And now you're in this safe place. And you might even want to sit up now if you choose. You've spent a time where you've healed yourself from the love, that beautiful energy, that great source that's within you. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still there. Just wanting to comfort you, to bring you peace, to take you to a different place where there is no pain, for that is what love does. It always comforts us, and it's always there for us. So now that you're back in your full body, know at any point in time you can take this journey into the center of who you are, to find any and all of your feelings and emotions, and be comfortable with expressing them. And if tears flow, that's perfectly all right. For they're your body's way of cleansing and letting go. Now see if your burdens feel any lighter. Your stress is less. And you're feeling more at who you are. So in this time, just rest. And slowly, slowly, you can rejoin your day. For you've filled yourself with love and peace. And you've helped your body heal. And you've talked with your soul. Closing thoughts. I do hope you have gained a few gems to support you during the challenges that changes and endings present to you. It has been my joy, honor, and pleasure to share a part of me with you to help you on your path. Words are very powerful. That statement gained new meaning for me after I appeared on the TV program with my brother Steve. We had been asked to be on the Lisa Gibbons Show to promote his upcoming water skiing event to raise money for the Mental Health Association. Host Lisa Gibbons and I talked during a break. I explained what had happened to Sid. She said to me, "I'm sorry for your loss and pain. It must have left a huge hole in your heart." Her words of compassion planted the seed. Each of us will never know how much of an impact our words have on one another. So before you open your mouth to speak, think from your heart and speak words of compassion. Lise's words are how this all started. And how much more has evolved from this one little phrase. A long time ago, mourners used to dress in black for 1 year. Nowadays, it is unusual to even wear black to a funeral. I kept saying to my friends, I wish I had something to wear so people would understand that I am in grief, and I have had a very good reason for not being my high-energy, happy-go-lucky, smiling self. I just needed their compassion and understanding. Not judgments or guilt. With that in mind, I have created 3 symbols for those who are grieving. The first one is a heart with a huge hole in it and a black bow. And then there's another heart, and it has a smaller hole in it, and it has a purple bow for remembrance. And then the last heart has a teardrop in it. And the teardrop in it means we can heal. Yes, you will heal if you choose. If not, you can carry this loss with you the rest of your life and not live a life, just exist. I hope when you see this beautiful jewelry, you will know that someone is in grief. And that you will support them as they walk this path. You see, life is best lived in one moment at a time. Set your goals, then adjust your plans according to the needs from the inside of you. Love is really the only answer to heal all of the woes of the world. It is love that is the truth between us, regardless of how ugly the appearance may be. Loss is now viewed from a perception of change, knowing you can never really lose anyone or anything. Thank you for your time and listening, for allowing me and Susan to share and to nurture you, and most of all, for choosing to walk this path. For doing so, you have started to heal the hole in your heart.